Hello, this is Tom Campbell. Today is March 23rd, 2013, and I'm talking with Dan Rinaldi from The Litter. Dan, would you please give us your full name, your date of birth, and your hometown, please?
No. Dan Rinaldi, 1945. I lived in Richfield.
Dan, what do you remember about the early beginnings of The Litter?
Bill Stranloff and I stayed together after Tabs broke up. And Kane was in another band.
That's Jim Kane?
Jim Kane was in a band with Denny Waite. Kane was a bass player. Denny Waite was a lead singer and played organ. They ran into each other at the State Fair, I think. I remember Bill was excited. He says, you know, we got a couple more guys. So that's how it started. And then we tried out for drummers. And I think we found Tom Murray at the State Fair, too, in one of those stalls they have and people show off and stuff with their instruments. And that's how it started.
Who came up with the band name, The Litter?
I'm guessing Jim Kane. He tried to control everything, but he couldn't control me, and he hated that.
Can anybody control you?
No.
Where did the band first practice?
Okay. Oh, we used to practice in Jim Kane's basement out in Excelsior. And his mother was nice enough to put up with our arguing and the loud music.
So, just for the record, who played what in the first version of The Litter?
I played rhythm, a little harmony. Denny Waite, lead singer, played some organ and harmonica. Jim Kane played a pretty good bass. And Tom Murray was a fantastic drummer. Is that everybody? Bill Stranloff. he was in there for a while.
And Bill's on lead guitar?
Oh, yeah, Bill loved to sing and lead guitar. It's very good.
So this is sometime in 66, right? 1966?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you meet Warren Kendrick?
Through Jim Kane. They both lived in Excelsior. Kane and Warren were friends, and Warren wrote songs. So we tried one of his, and it got us started.
Which song was it?
Action Woman.
Warren had written that.
Yes.
What did you think of the song?
I loved it. That and Soul Searching, that was one of Warren Kendrick's. Those are the only two songs I liked at The Litter Div. Zippy'd get so mad at me because he wrote the songs on all the other albums. And he said, those are the only two you like. What about mine? I don't like them.
So you go into the studio with Warren, and where did you record your first album?
At Dove Studios.
That was out in Bloomington?
Yes, it was.
What do you recall about being in the studio for the very first time?
It was hard, because if we made a mistake, we would have to do the song totally over again. Mm-hmm. Now they can just add a note, you know, to stuff.
Now, Stranloff is playing on a number of songs on the album, correct?
I think two or three. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, we know Action Woman, right?
Yes.
And Soul Searching.
Yes.
And is there a third one? Legal Matter?
But it could have been.
Okay. Who was picking the songs to record for the Litter album?
I think we all kind of voted on it.
Let's just run through the different songs on the album, and maybe you can just say who did the song originally. Okay, side one, Action Woman, that's original. Song two, What You Gonna Do About It?
I think these were records that Kane had got from his friend who ordered albums from England. So we were the first ones to play them in town, and people thought they were our originals at first.
The original group to do What You Gonna Do About It was?
Small Faces.
Okay, and Codeine or Codine, written by Buffy St. Marie.
Yeah.
So I assume she did that.
Yes.
Oh, okay, and right. Song four, Somebody Help Me?
Spencer Davis.
Spencer Davis on Somebody Help Me, and Substitute.
The Who.
The Who on Substitute. All right, that takes care of side one. Side two of Distortions. First song is I'm So Glad.
Cream.
Song two, A Legal Matter.
The Who.
Song three, Rack My Mind.
The Yardbirds.
Yardbirds.
I remember them guys, yeah.
Soul Searching is song four. We know who wrote that. And the final song, I'm a Man.
The Yardbirds.
What places around town did the Litter play?
At the beginning, we broke attendance records at Danceland. Jerry Lee Lewis had the previous attendance record, and I was out there to see him. And we used to pack that place. Just we had places in like Rochester, Playmore Ballroom, I think it's called. And, you know, every place we went for a while, they were packed because we were kind of a novelty. People hadn't seen Long Hair and they hadn't heard these songs, so yeah, the word got around.
So the Litter were different than most other local bands.
Yes, we were copying the Beatles and the Stones, I guess.
Did you sing lead on any songs?
Yeah.
Which ones?
Talk Talk.
By the Music Machine?
Yes.
Did you like playing live?
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you get into it?
Yeah, it's the only place I could get away with being crazy and not getting thrown in jail.
Now, Strandloff departs the band at some point here.
Yep.
Do you recall the last night he played with the band?
He wasn't with us very long. And I don't know why he quit, but he had talked to Kane, and all of a sudden he says, go to hell, all you guys, and he left the band.
So Action Woman comes out on a 45 on the Scotty Records label, Warren Kendrick's label. Did you ever hear it on the radio?
Yes. That was really fun.
It got airplay on the local stations?
I used to listen to everybody else's records, and all of a sudden I'm on the radio. I mean, it was like, you know, how cool is that?
Did WDGY and KDWB both play it?
I remember Bill had a thing with Bill Deal, WDGY, and I don't remember the other place.
What was that like to hear yourself on a record on WDGY?
I thought I made it big time. It wasn't something I thought would happen to me. It was something I liked.
Did that increase the band's popularity, having a record out on the air?
We drew anyways. I don't know if the record added to it.
Were you kind of a wild guy on stage then?
Yes, I was insane.
What'd you do?
I would get mad at the people in the group. Instead of taking it out on them, I'd break my guitar or kick my amp over. I was a jerk.
So you broke some guitars, huh?
Yeah. And we weren't making enough for me to be breaking a guitar a night. So I only did it special nights.
Okay, and I believe a second 45 is released off that album. Somebody Help Me with I'm a Man. Did you ever hear that one on the radio?
I never even got that record.
Really?
I didn't like that. They'd take stuff off the albums and they wouldn't give us, you know, copies of the stuff.
What do you remember about Warren Kendrick in the studio?
He was a really nice guy. I liked him.
The record's out. The band's doing well. We're in 1967 now, I believe. You go back into the studio to do a second album, correct?
Yes, this was one off of Nicollet Avenue.
This is the one on, this is the old K Bank?
Sounds right. That one, She's Not There. I got stoned. I was never straight. And I got stoned before we recorded this, and we were doing She's Not There, and I'm making up these just fantastic rhythms that nobody's ever played before. And when I heard the mix down, I wasn't even in there. And I was the one that they should have paid attention to, because I was the one that was playing to the Stone people, which was going on then. Once Kane got in the recording studio, him and Zippy, they just messed everything up. I'd just let him do it. I wouldn't even fight to try to get in there. It'd be too much of a, you know, arguing. I really didn't like the studio. I just like playing on stage.
So you enjoyed playing live more than being in the studio?
Oh, yeah. I hated the studio. I remember now.
All right. Let's run through the songs on $100 Fine.
Oh, God, no.
Side one is Mindbreaker. It looks like that's written by Jim Kane and Denny Waite. Song two on side one is Tallyman. Who did Tallyman?
Yardbirds.
Song three is Here I Go Again. Song four is Morning Sun, written by Larry Loughborough. Who's he?
And he used to be the roadie with Zoner.
By the way, Zoner, what was his real name?
Dale.
So then we have Under the Screaming Double Eagle and Apologies to 2069. That's written by Zippy and Denny and Woody Woodrich.
Okay.
Then side two has only three songs. Kaleidoscope is the first song. What about the special effects they used on that song?
Well, I think it's called phasing. And Ichiku Park came out, and they had phasing. And they came out just before we were ready to release our phasing song. So we would have been the first ones to do that, but he missed it just a few weeks, I think.
Okay, song two is Blues One. Looks like that's Zippy and Denny wrote that. And then song three, She's Not There. Where'd that song come from?
I know, but I can't.
Zombies.
They would have never thought of that.
That's the Zombies, okay. And there were no 45s off this album, correct?
No, the album sucked.
You didn't like the album, huh?
No. I liked the first one. That was it.
Okay.
And they never would use any of my ideas, because they always said, well, he's stoned, he's drunk, he doesn't know what he's talking about. If they would have done a few of the things I wanted to have, I think we would have gone a lot further.
Are you talking about song selection, Dan?
Everything. The way we dressed, just everything.
Okay, so $100 Fine comes out, and did you ever hear any of these songs on the radio?
Not that I remember.
So there wasn't really a hit off this album, like Action Woman off the first album.
Right. Action Woman, Soul Searching. My favorites.
I remember the Litter doing Kaleidoscope
on
the late night, you know, show that Dave Moore used to do, the late night show on Channel 4 that he used to do, and the Litter were on there.
They were playing it live?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember if it was live. They might have been lip syncing, so it's hard to remember that. But I do remember them doing that on TV.
A lot of people might even not know what a kaleidoscope is these days. Do you recall some of the big name bands that the Litter played with live?
Well, I remember every one.
Really?
Yes. I have it burned into my brain. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Cream, Joe Cocker, Three Dog Night, Iron Butterfly, 10 Years After, Alice Cooper, Iggy Pop and the Stooges, The Who, The Guess Who, Them, Flying Burrito Brothers, Eric Burton's War, Canned Heat, Shadows of Night, Velvet Underground, Creedence Clearwater, Aorta, Grand Funk Railroad, The Union Gap, Steppenwolf, The Birds, Johnny Winters, Sunshine Company, Tommy James, Neil Diamond, Chubby Checker, Genesis, James Gang, Crow, Castaways, Underbeats, Led Zeppelin, Allman Brothers, Rotary Connection, Fleetwood Mac, Voice and Heart, The Vagrants with Leslie West, and then he went into Mountain, Delaney and Bonnie with Eric Clapton, Jeffro Tull, Brian Auger and the Trinity, Little Boy Blues, Buckingham's, The Flock.
Delicious. You once had a great story about how Roger Daltrey came up to you when you were playing with The Who.
Oh, let's hear it. Dan, do you remember playing with The Who?
Yes, it was at a giant concert hall, just huge. I walked up to the very top tier. Looking down, it was just a vertical. I mean, just so high, and I couldn't figure out how the people could walk on those little skinny steps. And anyways, I was sitting backstage up on a, there was this big giant rolled up mat, and I was sitting on it, and all of a sudden this guy walks up to me, and he says, "Things can't be that bad, can it?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Here, have a sip of this." I'd never tasted it before, but it was great. It was amaretto. So then we get through playing that night.
Well, who was the guy?
Roger Daltrey. And then we played first before them that night. And our crazy lead singer at the time was Mark Gallagher. And he was nuts. And he went to the Who's dressing room, pounded on the door, screaming, "I'm a better singer than you. I can sing better than you." I mean, what an idiot. But so the bouncer came out and shut him up. But he was hard to work with. That's a little story. Him and me tried to outdo each other on stage.
We need a year when Gallagher comes in. Is it 60?
I don't know.
Well, he was there in 69.
Why did Denny Waite leave the band?
I think his girlfriend told him to. Yeah, something stupid like that.
Well, this album comes out in 70, so it must have been recorded.
No, it came out in 69.
This is 69?
It was 69, I remember that.
Okay, so it must have been, this is 68, so it must have been 69 Gallagher, right? So let's start with Changes. So, Dan, the band goes...
Wait a second, go back a few steps. Dan, do you remember when Lonnie Knight and Greg Springer joined the band and you also moved to Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
What do you remember about that? Because Lonnie Knight was in Joker's Wild Right. Me, and Greg Springer...
I used to watch him play all the time.
...was our ex thing, and all of a sudden, one day he says, "I'm moving to Chicago and I'm joining the litter."
Well, we didn't live in Chicago.
No, you didn't.
But we played there so much that people thought we were from there.
But you guys had moved there for about a month. I don't know if you were rehearsing or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, probably had a lot of jobs or recording. Or...
What happened with that?
Dan, I understand the litter was very popular in Chicago.
Yes, we were huge. They liked us better than the big name bands that would come, like Zeppelin. We'd play first for Zeppelin, and then while Zeppelin's playing, some guy would stand up and say, "We want litter." So I ducked under the table.
Do you recall the places?
We paid him quite a bit to say that to them.
Do you recall the places where the litter would play in Chicago?
I think it's called a Kinetic Playground, Aragon Ballroom, just beautiful.
Was there electric something?
Electric Theater.
Do you think the band was more popular in Chicago than Minneapolis, or
just more people? Just
more people.
We were big for longer in Chicago, because the guy that owned the place where we played, it was a warehouse when we went in there, and we played "I'm a Man" for him, and he said, "You guys are gonna be my house band. No matter who plays here, you get to play with them." So that was a pretty cool deal.
Was that the Electric Theater?
Yes. Yes.
Your manager was from Chicago.
Yes, Scott Deneen was a great guy. He knew how to talk to me, you know, a little baby talk. That's what I need.
So your manager was from Chicago?
Yeah, really cool. I think the, what the hell you call it, the club president for the Tabs.
Fan club?
Fan club. It was Jamie Covell. And she'd always send me roses or candy or goodwill wishes. And I never, something I really regret, I never talked to her because I didn't want her to like me. Like me. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. So I never said thank you for any of the stuff. She kept on doing it. And what was my point? Oh, Distortions. I think she brought Distortions to Chicago with her and had Scott Deneen listen to it. I think that's how he found out about us.
Okay.
So it could have been her that actually made the litter. I don't know.
Take a drink?
Well, this is like breathing air.
just let him do what he's doing. You don't have to say that every time. Let him do what he's doing.
No, he has to do what I tell him to do.
Did you get to the part where Danny
right now?
Okay.
What? Danny, I'll ask it. Yeah, I know the question.
Okay.